Moving the agenda, we now go to the CFO report for the next hour. Lonnie.
Are you ready?
I'm ready.
Okay, but the chair is not here.
Chair's right there.
Chair's over here. We don't need him.
Oh, he's... Okay, we're ready for you. Please. May we have order so the CFO can give his report? Thank you. All the directors, would you please stop the side conversation, sit down, and pay attention. Thank you.
Can we turn the lights out? That'd be great. Hey. I think we're ready to get. Can everybody see? We're okay? All right, I will start and take us through the report. This is called the What About Report. And that means I'm going to try to answer questions that begin with, what about? What about this? What about that? What about this? What about that? And I'm going to try to tackle some of the ones that seem to be on people's minds. Am I okay? Am I here? All right. I'll start with a poem.
No.
It's my finance. Sorry.
Can't
do it. I can't do it right now. Yeah. Yeah, that's fine.
There you go.
All right, here we go. Okay. I want to start with what the major issues that face this network. We're, as you know, in a period of transition, and there are some serious issues that face us. Everyone knows. And I'm going to try to address just some of them, and the general managers will address in detail. I'm going to start with an overview. Then I'm going to go into the whatabouts, because I'm going to try to deal with some of the whatabouts that are on people's minds. But first, we do have some budget shortfalls. As everyone knows, we're struggling at WBAI. We had a drive that was not what folks had hoped it would be. We are looking at the FY06 budget, which will be coming before this board in September, but we're all working on it now. That budget is proving to have challenges, and we're going to try to spell out what some of those challenges are. Staffing needs. We have a number of staffing needs that have been identified as we have gone through the process, of everything from needing an HR director, needing membership director, needing programming people. We have at this meeting talked about 5 or 6 staffing positions that folks have identified are needed. So staffing is an issue in terms of how do you incorporate staff and how do you pay for it. Simultaneously, we've talked about reducing staff. So we are at Pacifica on course for first we say no, then we say yes. Yes, we need staff. No, we need to reduce staff. So be that as it may. Stability is an issue. How do we, during this period of transition, maintain the stability of the network, keep the people whom we depend on, our members, our affiliates, our supporters, maintaining a level of confidence in our ability to do what their dollars and their hopes and their love and support intend us to do. So stability doesn't mean we just stay the course. It means that we maintain for the people whom we are proxies, people who support us, that we maintain and do the job that they're asking us to do, to keep this network producing that hope, that product, that voice, irrespective of our differences. I believe they expect that of us, and expect it of me, I know. I hear it every day when the phone calls come in. What the hell is going on? And he said, we're working it. CPB issues, You know, we have a threat that's coming from the political arena. House passed the CPB reduction bill. Whether it gets passed in the Senate, many of the pundits say it will not get out of the Senate. Maybe it will, maybe it won't. Nobody knows for sure. What does it mean? $100 million? What would it mean for our budget? $25 million? 25% reduction? We don't know. But say worst case. I get asked all this time. Say it does happen. Say that the CPB monies for next year are reduced 25%. What will Pacifica do? What will be the implications for our budget, for our programming, for our staff, for our planning, for our finances? Could we withstand a 25% reduction and our $1.6 million coming from the CPB? Answer, yeah. We could. Pacific is a $16.5 million operation. Yes, we could withstand a 25% cut. Would it be painless? No, it would not be painless. But we could do it. Three station licenses are up for renewal, A, K, and T. As everybody knows, the renewal period is a particularly vulnerable period. Because when that period is occurring and those licenses are being evaluated, it's a vulnerable period. I won't go into detail because I don't want to encourage anyone, but you know what I mean. Legal issues. We want clean air. First of all, we want clean air. We don't want to be vulnerable on the level that our air is not clean. It also means that we want to be able to meet FCC regs, our logs up to date. There are lots of things that a station needs to have in place. Our EEOC books, our EEOC outreach has been done, can be produced on a walk-in basis. We do have a walk-in, and we do have stations that will get visits. And that is starting to happen. So, legal issues. I need not go in great detail on legal issues. Legal issues are with us. Pacifica seems to thrive on legal issues. As soon as we finish one, we feel nervous and need to have another one. Bylaw convention planning. This is a big issue for this network. That is to say, I think next fiscal we're supposed to have a bylaw convention. Question. How will that get planned? Who will plan it? How will it be paid for? First one that the network will have undertaken, how will it be organized? What will be the goals? Who will be the participants? Where will it be? How much will it cost? It's an unknown, and work needs to be done. It takes 6 months. We could attach it to an existing board meeting. We could have it be a standalone. We could have a trainer there. We could do a retreat before. Lots of choices to be made. But we need to start moving on it. Okay. Let's get on to the what ifs, the fun part. This is the what if page, the what about page. Let's start with the two. We're going to start with WBAI, then the interdivisional accounts, and then after that, we'll move on. Let's talk about WBAI. A lot of statements about WBAI and what is and is not happening at WBAI. I'm going to tell you what I know to be true or false, or I don't know, the three choices. Or I have an inkling, but I'm not sure. Let's talk about the drive first. WBAI did, in fact, have a drive whose goal was $1.1 million. They did not raise $1.1 million. They raised $709,000. That means that WBAI missed their goal by roughly the $400,000. What does that mean? Well, it can mean a number of things, but here are a few. If you miss your goal by $400,000, that is a large number. That is no way that you can get around the fact that's a large number. What does it mean for that station? the station says, well, we are going to have to up the number of off-air activities, begin to plan for fundraisers, bring together a team at WBAI, develop a plan. When I do the WBAI report, because the general manager isn't here, I will go through the general manager's report on what the planning is at WBAI on what to do about that particular issue. Will there be layoffs at WBAI? Unknown, but it's a possibility. It's not ruled out. Is there a plan about how that would go? Yes, it is. There's a recovery plan that was put in place some over a year ago about what to do in the eventuality that something like this happens. So the plan is in place. Does the plan call for layoffs? Yes, it does. After avoiding as much as possible layoffs by reducing expenses. A year ago, WBAI had monthly expenses of $300,000. They reduced that to $255,000 a month. So they did some work in that area. Now, just to clarify some myths about WBAI, does WBAI spend more money on staff and salaries than other stations? No. You look at the percentage that that station spends on salary compared to the percentage that other stations spend at Pacifica, it's comparable. Similar. Not overburdened. 26 FTEs. So what is WBAI's problem? WBAI has positives going for it. What will it take for WBAI to turn around? Let's look at idea number one. WBAI is paying something like $500,000 for the rental of the transmitter and the rental of the premises that they are in. That $500,000 is the difference between WBAI being a solvent station and there being a station in trouble. They can't do much about the transmitter, just saw the contract, not much help there. But doing something about the rent is possible, but there's a catch. If they were to move out the building and save $250,000 a year, WBAI would be on relatively sound financial footing. The rent is what is really making a dent in their financial hopes. Yes, there are issues with audience. Yes, there are issues with the length of their drives. Yes, there are issues with you name it. But the one that has a large dollar amount attached to it is the rent. The catch is, how do you move out an entire radio station where the cost might be from $300,000 to $400,000? That's the catch. Where do you find that money? Answer. Maybe other stations might help WBAI move. Maybe they will. Maybe they won't. Maybe WBAI could have a move campaign and raise the money to move out of that building and get that albatross off their necks. So, I did want to point out that when you look at the WBAI situation, what's going to happen at WBAI? Last question on WBAI. They have 2 to 3 weeks in which they'll look at the plan that they are currently have on the table. And I'm going to go, when I do the WBAI report, because I'm going to do it because their general manager was unable to come, that'll be clear what their details are around that plan, and I'll pass it out. Next, let's go to interdivisional accounts. Yes. Oh, I know you want to see that. Let's do that. Let's start with the assertions. Then I'll do what I perceive to be the facts. Assertion. That the national office owes KPFA $1.4 million and is hiding the fact. Okay, let's deal with that. Maybe it's true, maybe it's not. All right, let's talk about the facts. The $1.4 million, when you look into the financials, which are available on the website, you will see a receivable of $1.4 million. Yes, it's there. Where did it come from? Why is it there? Let's do history. That $1.2 million goes back to 2001. to the hijack period, to the rebellion period, when the fight between the national office and all the stations was in full bloom, 2001. That fight did not happen just at the station level, did not happen just on the streets. That fight also occurred in the accounting system. The national office saw a bill and spent $883,000 on security at KPFA. Go to the audit, which is on the website. Look under functional expenses. You will see $883,000 in security expenses that was expended, mostly at KPFA. $333,000 in accounting expenses. $2.4 million in legal expenses. The national office, in order to pay off, not the national office, I should say the board, because the board was making those decisions. The board in power then made the decision to take the money from all of the stations' portfolios, their investments, their endowments, their program. They took the money. It's in the accounts. They took the money, cashed it from the portfolios, which is to say, withdrew those funds and spent it on those expenses. $800,000 here, $300,000 for the accountants. Money spent to pay off legal. The national office, not, I keep saying national office because you guys got me saying national office. The board took the money. They spent it on everything you can imagine. I saw items where they spent money on penthouses. I saw money. They spent money. And they didn't keep receipts. They did wire transfers where you couldn't trace it back. So there was undoubtedly a case where that board spent those funds on both things, paying the bills, but on some of the things they shouldn't have been spending money on, and a lot of the times they didn't keep the books. I look at the station side. So what was going on with the stations in 01? Well, I've, you know, looked at a lot of books, but let me tell you what I saw. Stations were hiding money. They had secret bank accounts. They had secret legal fundraising going on where that money was not accounted for. Didn't go through our books. They didn't book revenue they were getting from listener support. You have to deduce the revenue because they did not book it. They didn't want the national office to steal the money, so they stopped putting it in the books. Maybe I would have done that too. I don't know. Well, that makes for a real confused set of books. And the next thing they did is the stations, in order not to have to pay to recoup the money that board was taking, booked everything as a loan. It was a big deal at the time. Don't book it as a payable to the national office or a transfer. Book it as a loan to the national office because those stations, KPFA included, did not want to have to, you know, foot the bill because it was an action against them by the national office. There was war, and war occurred in these books. People booked stuff any way they chose. And you know that practice continues to this day. What's the solution? Does KPFA owe the national board 1.4, or does the national board owe KPFA 1.4? Answer. When I talked to the auditors about it, he sent me an email, which I can read to you. And he also made it clear that the solution can be, there are a couple of ways to go. I'll read the email a little bit later on if you want me to. But his suggestion is that, first of all, this goes back to 01. People ask me, well, why didn't they just write it off? I says, no, not in Pacifica. You don't just write it off. What he's basically saying to us is that the legal bills from 01 only recently got resolved by settlements that occurred in January. We are still paying off legal from 01. So the auditor is saying, look, we don't know how much this total bill from 01 will be. So he suggested that we settle these issues this year, now that we know finally what the total legal bill from 01 is going to be, what that number is. His suggestion is, in this audit coming up, this board will have to make the decision whether you write off that 01 scenario, whether you let it sit where it is now as a national office debt, or whether you charge the expense to KPFA and other stations on the grounds that $883,000 worth of expenses is $883,000 worth of expenses, et cetera, et cetera. I said, well, that's nice, Mr. Auditor, but what is accounting practice? He says, accounting practice is it's an allocated expense much like we do legal. I said, I'm not touching that with a 10-foot pole. He said, take it to the board. So that's where it'll come. Okay? So, to sum up, does KPFA owed the $1.4 million? Answer, depends on your point of view. Okay? All right. Now, and you can go either way. Now, the board will have to decide. This board will have to decide how that gets resolved. All right.
Quick question. Does that recommendation by the auditor suggest that there's going to have to be further investigation of the transactions that were made in order for the board to make an informed decision?
He's willing to come and talk to the board about it. The question is, did the auditor state that further investigation of that transaction needs to be done? Did he raise that issue? And I asked him the question, would you come and do it? This is part of his answer. This is an email sent by Ross Wisdom, who's our auditor, because I knew there would be questions and people would wonder whether to take my word for it, so I brought the email for you. This is the issue, the accounting issue, not the legal issue, not the moral issue, but just how it should have been done in terms of accounting. This is what he's trying to answer. He's not judging the case. He's not saying who's right and who's wrong. He's just saying what should have been done in the books according to GAAP. Here's part of his answer in writing. I'll just skip down. He says allocation of expenses, which he's saying, this is a question of whether the expense is allocated to A or allocated to the national office or by some formula split up. He's saying allocation of expenses are typically made on some basis, and these expenses relate to press. The ones we're under question relate to professional expenses, accounting, security, and legal. An analysis would need to be done of the time involved related to each division. Division here, he means station. Presumably, there would be time and billing records available. Well, maybe, maybe not. However, certain engagements, which he means expenses, may have been related solely to one station or division, and therefore all of that expense would be allocated accordingly. What is that saying? Well, what that is saying is that if you can trace back an expense to a given station, doesn't go in overhead, it's charged to that station. And I said, okay, that's the first sentence here. I would like to point out that this is not a GAAP issue, which he means, general accepted accounting practice issue, since these are not functional allocation affecting the statement activities by program management and general fundraising. He's saying that GAAP says, hey, you allocate expenses in these three areas, and that is GAAP. He's saying this lies outside of GAAP, but rather divisional allocations, which upon consolidation are eliminated and don't affect organizational-wide line items of assets, which is to say they go away when you consolidate them. Now, last sentence I'll read to you. Since this involves a material dispute between the divisions, it should require a board resolution. Upon such a resolution by the board, the accounting entries to record these allocations would be, and I won't read you the accounting entries, but I will have it. So that's our auditor speaking, giving an accounting answer to the question of how it should be handled.
all of these allocations have actually already happened somewhere in our books, correct? In other words, money moved, it was assigned to given line items and given budgets in particular places. So we do know how it got allocated to date, correct?
You mean cash. The books don't reflect. No, allocation here means the allocating of expense back to the source of that expense. The answer.
Right. But we know right now. You're distinguishing between where you got the money and where it got assigned.
That's right.
But we know both of those bits of data, pieces of data, exist presently.
We know who took the cash, and we know roughly what they did with it, although there's not a lot of receipts.
But we know who they took it from and how much it was.
Yes, roughly we do. Roughly we do. Yeah. But they took it from KPFA, and they took it from other stations. Anybody that had money in their portfolios or even cash in the bank, that board took as much as they could get a hold of.
Lonnie, stop me if I'm saying something that shouldn't be, aired at this point. But we know, for example, that during the period of struggle, an executive director, or may have been executive directors, racked up enormous credit card expenses. It's not always clear which of those expenses had to do with national functions or which were made for board meetings or were made on behalf of stations for operational activities. And I guess one of my concerns is that in order to really resolve any of this issue and say what anyone's point of view is, you may have to explore and investigate more of the detail surrounding some of these expenditures. Am I incorrect in making that assertion?
If you're correct in making that assumption, if such detail exists, and that's what I was saying earlier, some of those credit cards were never booked. They were cash, wire transfer, so there's not a record. That's why it makes this all so murky.
Just a comment on that point
is that if in that instance, and I do have a couple other comments that I'll wait, if they were never booked, it was just cash, they're not supported by invoice or some kind of documentation, that is not a charge to the organization. That is free money that should be charged to the person who did that, because every organization should have the documentation to, when you go someplace and you have an expense account or expenses, when I send you my expenses, I've got them all detailed. You give me a check and it's signed off. We know exactly what they're for. But if it's so murky, you've got to go back to the person who actually benefited from that money and put it on that person. Maybe you might have to go to court and get it back from that person. But without documentation, it's not right for it to be booked to erroneously to the station.
Yeah, there is a debate all around those issues. What I did when I came in as CFO, I looked at all of the outstanding invoices, all of the documentation, anything that I had that could identify whether a lawyer or a law firm was actually owed the money. I called up the law firm and said, did we owe you money? the confirmation process, right? The confirmation process, yeah. So what I found was, and I made a determination, that some of the law firms could not show proof that they provided services and wrote them off. And that's right, they didn't. $1 million worth. Didn't pay them. People ask, how did I reduce the legal debt from $3.4 million to zero right now? How did I do it? I didn't pay $1 million of it. And the other, there's still some legal firms, $250,000 worth, that still yet is to be written off. And that's still another part of the shoe, that there's still law firms from that 01 period, $250,000 worth, that I have in the write-off column, that finally this year the auditors allow us to write those off. Okay. No other questions? Yes.
Thanks, Lonnie.
this is obviously important to me since I'm from KPFA and everybody out there. The fight was not divisional. I mean, I just want to – I mean, I understand GAAP, you know, the GAAP policies, but the struggle was not divisional. It wasn't just KPFA versus
– Yes, that's true.
– the regime. It was really all of the five network stations against the regime.
And different parts of the board.
And different parts, the majority versus – exactly. So the way I look at this is, I mean, over here it says certain engagements, and I'm reading this for the benefit of those who are listening online, certain engagements may have been related solely to one station or division, therefore all of that expense could be allocated accordingly to that one station or division. I don't see that in our situation because KPFA's struggle that began in 1999, March 1999, is really Pacifica's struggle. I don't think you could separate them, the two. And I think we need to keep that in mind. Yes, you made the, how would you say, the preamble.
I'm not taking a position.
I understand. You said that this is not necessarily the emotional versus the political decision. This is more of the accounting. His view of the accounting. And I thank you for making that preamble. But I, as a board member, wanted to let you know that I think of the KPFA struggle in 1999 as part of the entire Pacifica struggle.
See, that's the problem.
Mark?
The problem with that is that that's a very true statement, but where it ceases to become a statement is when we now go after the fact to try to go back and decide who pays what part of the check. You know, it's like I was saying when everyone goes out to dinner and you're feeling good and you put it all on one bill and everybody's fed and then the check comes and, you know, and then all of a sudden it's, okay, who had the steak? And that's kind of what we're doing.
I'm vegetarian.
And that, well, okay, you're vegetarian. But the problem with post-mill analysis, you know what I'm saying, is that particularly in a time of upheaval, is extremely difficult to go back and trace who had what. I mean, it's kind of like a buffet, you know. It's kind of hard to do it. And I understand that for those stations who now have, you know, let's say if I'm KPFA, right, and someone comes in and I have $1 million and they take it out, right, they credit my cash account for $1 million, and they give me a piece of paper, a loan. So I've got this loan on my book now for $1 million. And then the national takes that million, and then they pay off debt, some of which may have been incurred by me, some of which may have been incurred by others, some of which may have been incurred by the board. It's going to be very difficult to go back and unravel it. And in some ways, the repayment for all of that upheaval is the beautiful scene we have before us today. You know, so sometimes you get that in a mint and a toothpick and you call it a day.
If I could move on, unless you want to do more on just the interdivisional. Is it just interdivisional?
Point
yeah.
of order.
Yeah.
This is supposed to be a presentation, and yeah. in the past we've let the CFO do the presentation and then
be
have
nice.
Discussion afterwards.
We've got people behind me. I know this is fun, but let me get to the end of it and I'll be right there. All right, let me get through my what abouts. I just did that one because I felt it was on everybody's mind. What about the overall finances of this network? Are we in crisis? Are we near bankruptcy? Are we going to go out of business? No. Network is worth approximately half a billion dollars. Not going to go out of business easily. I think I've had some notion of WBEI is worth $300 million. At least some of these brokers think so. KPFA, probably a similar amount. So the station, while the budget has issues, the underlying value at the network is extremely high. We own our buildings, own them outright. At least KPFA has only two or three more months to pay on the mortgage on that building. So let us be clear. There's a difference between having a budget issue, budget problem, budget crisis, than being in a financial crisis as a network as a whole. Just want to be clear. Financial reporting, is it adequate? Well, Some people say yes. Some people say no. I say I've gained 15 pounds since. It's tough, man. Putting out a whole lot of financial material. A lot of people are still unhappy with it, unsatisfied with it, and want more and feel like stuff is being hidden. And all right, I'm open to it. And what is my suggestion? I say let's have a finance day at Pacifica where everybody can come in and answer and get all those questions answered. Go over all the books. Put out, you know, just have that day where people can come in and get a sense of how all this stuff works. And well, I think that I'm open to it. Now, my next, yes, I heard the joke. Then there's about, what about the follow through from staff? What about follow through from staff? People say, well, didn't we have staff to do this? Didn't we have staff to do that? Why haven't they done it? And the national office, this, the national office, that. How many people in the national office? Who is that? Yeah, one person sitting there right now, me. One person. Yeah. We got the, plus our finance staff, right? But the finance staff is part of the national office, but you got one person to follow up on stuff. Let me give you an idea, then I won't. Then I'll take my violin back and put it in its little case. A single board meeting, we passed 106 motions last year at this board. That's an average of 25 motions per meeting, not counting committee motions. Yeah. Yeah. Boy, that's a lot of motions for one or two people to follow up on. It's a problem. Makes you look like you're not following through. Makes it look like you don't care. Makes it look like you're insubordinate. Makes it look like, you know, you're... It is just overwhelming. I come away from these board meetings with lists of stuff like this. Then what are you going to do? Need a finance policy manual approved. A lot of the stuff we're having about finances, the procedures and the protocols that will help with those internal controls are in a policy manual that I'm hope the finance committee can move on, or the board can move on, because it helps us regularize at given stations. So I again resubmit it for your look. We need an agreement on the depth of the audit. We need an agreement on it. This board has to set up some rules and say, okay, this is the depth of detail we want. This is the formats we want. This is the procedures we want. Again, you have to have some agreement. Otherwise, we're just hit and miss. Well, this year, we want more detail. Next year, we want more detail. So you got to be able to set the standard and hold it there for a while. We need a way of resolving questions. Questions always come up. Always come up. What about that Porsche I saw parked out in front of KPFA? Who owns that Porsche? It wasn't there before. Well, how do you deal with that? You know? Need a way of resolving questions. We need to be able to have somebody, question time at the board, I mean, whatever it may be, we need a way not to have questions sit so long that the mistrust gets so high that the misstatements, the rumors, the out-and-out lies take over. So we have to take some responsibility for making sure that good information gets to you folks and other folks as quickly as possible. I'm taking responsibility for wanting to do that and wanting to make sure that we agree on a way to get that done. So taking some responsibility. Forget about the staff workflow. Nobody cares. Need to be sure of the financial implications of motions. Yes, we do. If there's one thing at Pacifica that I feel strongest about, and it's happening at this board meeting, it's happening at committee meetings, it happens at LSB meetings, is people come with motions and no one asks the question, how's this going to get paid for? And where that money going to come from? Today the board did pass a motion that I'm hopeful will change our prodigal ways and that we can start to look at what things cost. We will have to, because we are now in a situation, budgetarily, where it's going to be necessary anyway. All right? Look at the hires we're talking about. Down here. The hires we're talking about, quite a few, number of staffing issues. How are they going to get paid for? Well, nary a word spoken about that. Not an answer to that question given. Need to answer that question. Need to know, where is the money going to come from? So, I'm going to just buzz on through the rest of it because I don't think we need to go. The conundrums, I'll probably close on conundrums. As I sit in board meetings and I participate in the committees, I hear in the same sentence sometimes from the same person, hey, we need more staff. Others, we need less staff and more volunteers. Hey, we need more reports. Oh, but at the same time, we need less staff. Well, that don't work together. Really. Yeah, the national office is bloated, but we do need more reports out of those people. Need more. We need to have control more centralized, because who's going to do something about this that's happening in the network? Who's going to do something about that that's happening in the network? Who's accountable for that? More centralization. Ah, but we need more local control, too. We haven't dealt with those issues. They just pass off our lips. One side of our head is talking local control. In the same sentence, we'll be talking centralization. Why isn't that board member or that CFO doing something about it? Well, which is it? Which is it? Which is the model that Pacifica is going to operate from? Choose. If you try to have it both ways, you're going to have confusion. And we got that. Need growth, or we need less growth. You hear people saying in one breath, hey, we got to grow. We got to work out ways to increase funding. We've got to look at on air and off air. Others are saying we need less growth. We need to shrink back. We need to lay off. Which is it? Got to be clear about what model you're working from. Not that you can't mix and match. I'm not saying you can't. I'm just saying you got to know the difference between the two. Some need for more power. Hey, need more power over here, right over here, right over here, need more power. Other folks are saying, hey, they need less power than what they have because they got far too much. We don't have any over here. Which is it? Always this constant measuring of who's got power and how much, and who's got not enough. What do you do? Maybe everybody's right. Maybe all of us don't have enough power. Why? Because we don't seem to have the power to move this network forward. That means we're all, for one reason or another, making each other powerless. That's what's happening from where I sit. We're all making each other powerless to move this network forward. And what are you going to do with that? We don't care, right? Don't care. We have no one to blame but us. And I include me. I'm not excluding me. But what are we, we're powerless to make the network move forward. Why? Because we're playing check and checkmate with one another. All right. More confidentiality or less confidentiality? Which is it? Some people say we need more confidentiality because we got to protect them. Some people say we need less. We need more transparency. Like the transparency is always for the other fellow, but it's never for you. Do you have transparency about what you're doing? No. That's just where it looks. Doesn't mean it's true. Yeah, it's true. The listeners are probably asking for our transparency, saying, hey, you folks ought to get more transparent about the goals of the network. You know, transparency can be defined lots of ways. I'm going to stop here. Why don't things get done at Pacifica? Why don't we get stuff done here? We have enough money. We have enough volunteers. We have enough support. We have enough staff. Yet, we're not getting stuff done at least as much as some of us would hope. Lack of prioritization and goal setting. We don't set goals because we don't trust the other people to do those goals. Don't trust them. So stalemate after stalemate after stalemate. And I'm getting older, you folks too. Lack of financial supports for motions. You know, we're lack of financial support for the motions that we make. So we make motions that will go nowhere because we haven't provided for the resources to make the motion real, to make the action that something that will occur. I will stop now because I can read the crowd. Lack of authority around who's authorized to do anything. In Pacifica, nobody's authorized to do anything. Who's authorized? Raise your hand if you are authorized to do anything at Pacifica. That won't be any hands. What are you authorized to do? Yeah, no. Authorized to move the network forward is the question. I'm authorized to stop. Everybody's authorized to stop something. Nobody's authorized to do something. Each meeting, we come away with many tasks, too many to complete, too many factions, what to do. I won't answer that question, although I have a slide. I won't answer that question. So I'm going to close with just one serious note and take your questions. Yeah, I'm just close, and I'm taking the questions. I know this has been a little bit far afield from a normal financial report, but I'm practicing. And I'm practicing, you know, what to do. I'm just as frustrated as many of you are in trying to come to work every day and feel like I've gotten something accomplished. So this is the What About report. It's what about us? What about Pacifica? What about us? So that is the end of my report. Question.
Am I on?
Yes, are you on?
Thank you. Yes. Thank you, Lonnie, for that report. We certainly appreciate you coming in and giving your, kind of looking at the whole organization, which is always good, and I think it's good for the listeners, you know, whether they agree with what you're. Never mind. Anyway, thank you. But we were talking about the audit, and I think that the question still remains that, you know, perhaps we can tackle this in terms of the interdivision transfers. You know, tackle it like look at 2004, then 2003. And the idea that I had was that perhaps what we could do is that we could meet with the University of California at Berkeley Graduate School of Business and perhaps develop a project with the grad students who are major in accounting and do a work project where we would have the graduate business students come in and help with the audit. Now, I wouldn't be involved because I'm on the finance committee, but I would certainly give the audit committee any support that they would need in terms of speaking with someone at the Graduate School of Business to do that project, because it is time-consuming, and it is something that I know when I was in graduate school and after even working in finance that, you know, it's sort of a fun project, particularly for students, and that perhaps rather than going to Mr. Wisdom, who's done a good job in terms of presenting the audit findings for us, that would be a project that we could take on, and that would certainly forge the relationships that we have now with the University of California, and I think that's something that we really need to do in the future. And hopefully, you know, again, you know, we at the board are looking at problem resolutions, and that's one thing that I would like to put forward.
Okay. And Mark says? Donna, I'm sorry.
Mark. Yeah, thank you. I don't know about the grad school. I remember when I was a business student, I hated when people came up with those kind of projects, but maybe we could find somebody that could help. And, you know, if the teacher made us, then, you know, we did it. But reluctantly, you know what I mean? But the one thing that I think that you said that I just wanted to touch on in terms of resource allocation, you said, what, Pacifica? Because I do think, and I've been on this board for 2 years now, and I do think sometimes that we do forget that our resources are limited, human and time in particular. And sometimes we forget that about each other, and we pile on so much that you do feel a sense of frustration about, well, what's the accomplishment? And I've been often in those cases where I've thought, well, why am I on this board? Why am I putting all this time in? But I think, on the other hand, if you look out, I mean, here at this audience and the other ones that we've seen, I mean, there's a lot of strength that we have. I mean, we're reasonably good-looking people. And very smart, you know, very smart, and old, yeah. But we're smart old, you know. And I just wanted to say this one thing that Mike Tyson said after his defeat, and I love his comment on that. And they said, "What have you learned?" And he said, "The problem is that we're smart too late, and old too soon." And I'm going to repeat that. We're smart too late and old too soon. And I don't have an intention of being either. And I don't think any of us do. And I think that, you know, smart and old. So I think if we focus on our resources, get a clear list of a couple things we can do, not everything, and get all the stations to understand that and incrementally we can improve, then we will. And I think we have to remember that the power of the slope thing starts with a little step, not a huge thing. So thank you for sharing your sense of the challenges before us.
Dave?
Couple things. Somebody spoke, Nicole Milner spoke eloquently about the need not to exaggerate when we talk about these things. I keep hearing about this 106 motions. A dozen of them are the adoption of minutes. About another half of them were referring things to committee. About another dozen are forming committees. So substantive motions are on the order of a couple of several dozen, maybe three dozen. Not a small number, but not 106. Some of them are simple things like the board should be CC'd policy memoranda that go from the management to the staff so we know what's going on. Those haven't been followed. That's not a financial impact. There's a lot of simple stuff, and I hear this discussion about, oh, this overwhelming mass of things in very nonspecific terms that make it very hard to deal with anything. Specifically on, in terms of the audit, to use Mark's analogy of paying for dinner, the motion we passed does not say we want to know who had the steak. It's we want to know who paid for the dinner since 2002. A simple accounting of it. I heard earlier today from the audit committee that we would hear during this report the status of when we were going to get that simple information, who paid how much. I understand that there's been resistance on this board. There was resistance when we passed it on the grounds that it would create a network-wide series of complaints like who is owed how much money. And we agreed that it's not an issue. We've done that, okay? We bought the dinner and we ate it. But we wanted to know who paid for it because we still don't know who paid for it since 2002. And that was just a simple matter of record keeping for the foundation to know it going forward. I still have not heard anybody tell me what the status of information we asked for last August 23rd is. Are we going to get that data or not?
The short answer is yes, you will. Well, you know, the auditor did his thing here. That's why he issued his statement, because he's done his review of 4 years of data. Remember, that one motion that asked for 5 years of data, it's only one motion. Now let me finish it. So it's not just a matter of how many, it's the content. And right now we have motions and requests for information, as you know, as an ongoing basis. So the answer to the question, when are you going to get the interdivisional stuff? Okay. In public, lying down on the ground prone, I promise you, because I know we're just about finished with it, now that the auditor has signed off, he said, look, I don't have the data for that year. I don't have, you know, now that he knows, now we know the full picture of what happened way back in 01, talking to people like Yasmin, talking to people at KPFA, talking to people that were there. I get a sort of a picture of what's doable, what's not, what's possible. 2 weeks is the answer. 2 weeks and we will have it. And I mind you, it is not a couple of pages. It is approximately 400 pages of work, which one person in my office had been practically his life producing. So it's not like a throw-off. It, when you see it, you'll see the extent to which that work was backbreaking work. And he produced a product. He's a CPA. His name is Alvin. We'll have the documents.
2 weeks.